Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Into the 3 o'clock hour we go. The Triple Threat, Sports Radio 610. Sean Pendergast, Rich Lord, Ted Johnson with you. And an hour in, and I feel like I'm kind of glad we saved the Rocket Talk for now. Because anytime we inject this guy into the conversation,
we all get smarter.
We do. We do indeed. He joins us on the Buyers Barricades hotline at Hoops Critic on Twitter. He's on Sirius XM. He pops up on my TV screen every now and then as well on NBA TV. Brian Geltzeiler joining us on the Triple Threat here on Sports Radio 610. What's happening, Geltz?
Hello, boys. Oh, Teddy, I bet you say that to all the boys.
Not true. These guys will back me up, man. It's true. You're the best, brother.
We had a fun little thing on Sunday on my show. Shawnee came on, and I was co-hosting with Rick Mahorn, and we decided we got to put the two of you together at one point or another, because that are the guys that on the surface may look a little menacing, but once you start to get to know them, are two of the biggest sweethearts on the planet. So, Shawnee, we got to hook that up. We got to get Teddy and Mahorn in the same place at one point or another.
Dude, we got to get me and Geltzeiler in the same room.
Yeah,
man.
Let's start there, right? That's it, brother.
So, Geltz, this Rocket series is interesting because they're up 3-1. They had that historic third quarter. I was thinking about this driving in. I know they're up 3-1. I think everybody expects them to close it out tonight. But if this series were like a heavyweight boxing match, I feel like the Timberwolves might be winning on rounds right now in this series. But the Rockets have obviously done enough to be up 3-1. What are your thoughts on this series so far?
Well, we're going to make it like a heavyweight boxing match. The Rockets have carried them a little bit. You know what I mean? Yeah. They've kept them a little more upright than they've needed to keep them, and variety of reasons for that. I mean, listen, I was not thrilled with the Rockets game one performance that resulted in a win. I think if the Rockets ultimately in the playoffs are going to worry about being, you know, bailed out by Harden hero ball is not a good formula for them. I liked game two much better, where James shot 2 of 18 and everybody else did their jobs, because that's going to be the whole key. Listen, Harden is not going to win them a title alone. They didn't bring in these other pieces for everything to have to fall on James's shoulders. And listen, game three was a little bit of a hiccup on the defensive end of the floor. And what I think you saw in game three was how badly they missed Bamute, how important he is to all of their switching. So you had that. One thing that surprised me is I'm surprised Tibbs hasn't gone to hacking Capella more and put Capella on the foul line, and just to slow the Rockets' pace and see if he can turn Capella into a liability, where maybe, potentially, D'Antoni's got to pull him. Because Capella, as we've talked about so many times on this show, guys, is so important to everything they do on both sides. And we talk about switching and pick and roll. He's probably now, right now, the best switching big onto a guard in the league in pick and roll. That's how good he is at that. So I think there's a variety of things that could have been done better for the Rockets. But I'll also say this, it's a little bit of a soft landing into the playoffs. I mean, the Timberwolves don't have a ton of experience in this kind of stuff. Yes, they have Butler and Gibson and Rose, but they rely an awful lot on Wiggins and Towns. This is the third worst defensive team in the NBA this year. So for the Rockets offense, it hasn't been incredibly challenged. So from that standpoint, yeah, I think from a heavyweight fight, the Rockets have carried them a little bit more than they have to. But I also think in the third quarter of game four here, where they've put up a 50 spot, which you just don't see, and was just an incredible display of shock and awe by the Houston Rockets, I think we kind of got an idea who they can be, them knowing who they can be, and I'd be really shocked if they didn't put them away tonight.
Man, Geltz, a Thibodeau team, third worst in defense in the NBA. That's hard to believe. But, you know, the first couple games, you had Thibodeau calling out his big guy, Karl-Anthony Towns, needed to be more aggressive, more active. How do you think the young center has played Karl-Anthony Towns so far in this series?
Uneven. I think at times we've seen how brilliant he can be. I think at other times we've seen him lack aggression. And Shawnee will tell you, Teddy, I'm a huge fan of Tom Thibodeau, both professionally and personally. But I also think part of him calling out Karl Towns is maybe calling himself out in the mirror a little bit. Because I will say this, and again, what will happen with a team like the Rockets sometimes is teams get hung up on trying to find the mismatch when they're switching and get out of their offense. Minnesota went too far without doing it at all. And I think there's a happy medium to doing that. But when you have a player like Towns, Towns, and they make a switch with Towns in pick and roll, and you got a mouse in the house on Towns, you have to take advantage of it, especially with the fact that he is such a good passer when he wants to be. And they did a lot of that in Game 3. Of course, their defense wasn't good enough in Game 4 to sustain handling the Rockets' deluge in the third quarter of that game, and that just made it a non-game. But when you look at Towns on a whole, I mean, here's the thing for Towns and even Wiggins in this series. These guys have never been here before. They're young players. The way that the intensity is dialed up in these spots is something that's extremely new to both of these guys. And they're learning on the fly. So I can understand Tibbs taking a shot at him. But again, listen, Tibbs got a lot of talent here. And I think I've seen Tom do better coaching jobs in his career. Not to say it won't improve and it won't get better. But, I don't think Tom, the GM, helped Tom, the head coach, all that much. I will tell you that. So, again, Towns looks very good here, on a whole, but this series has been a pretty uneven series for him.
Brian, great to have you with us again. Been too long. We appreciate your time. Hey, listen, that's 1-8, and I think we all anticipate the Rockets are going to eliminate the Timberwolves, probably tonight is my guess. The other 1-8 in the East, after Toronto beat Washington the first two games in Toronto, it looked like, okay, 1-8, business as usual. They'll probably take care of business. And then Washington, rises up and wins the next two games in Washington. And they're back in Toronto tonight. And I'm wondering your thoughts in light of how Beal and Wall are playing in this series, if we could be looking at an 8-1 potential upset in the East.
Well, Rich, I'll tell you this. Now, I started by the series, but I picked Toronto in 6. So I'm not shocked Washington's competitive. Washington, I kind of refer to as the underseeded NCAA tournament seed because they really are a much more talented team than the B&H seed. With all that said, I'm really disappointed in the Raptors. I picked the Raptors to come out of the East. And what upset me the most about what we've seen from the Raptors, listen, I can live with a Game 3 hiccup. The Rockets had a Game 3 hiccup. It'll happen over the course of the playoffs. But you get in a tight, close game in the fourth quarter. Toronto Raptors won 59 games, largely sharing the basketball with one another, getting out of all that ISO stuff that they love. And when things got a little tight, sphincteritis is a term I like to use, that they all had in Toronto, and things got a little tight for them, they all of a sudden reverted back to those old bad habits. And listen, they're going to do those old bad habits. They're beatable by multiple teams in the East, including the Washington Wizards. Listen, I think tonight I think you'll see the old Raptors. The ones that we saw during the season, moving the basketball, playing much more of an unselfish brand of basketball. Dwayne Casey's not going to have that stuff necessarily. But also say this, the Wizards have some wind behind their sails right now. The Wizards are a much more talented team than an 8 seed. This is a team three of the last 4 years has won in the first round. So the Raptors have you had them down, and instead of keeping them down, you gave them life. And this is a team with confidence that can be pretty dangerous. Rich, I picked it in 6 earlier. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes 7. I still think Toronto wins the series, but this is much closer than this 1-8 ever should have been.
All right, Geltz, I'm assuming that Utah is going to finish off OKC tonight. And if that is the case, what is the future there at OKC with Russell Westbrook and that whole situation with Paul George moving on? What do you see as the future for Oklahoma City?
Listen, I was under the impression that if they were even able to win a round, George was more likely to stay. This now throws all of that into question because there's a variety of things that have gone on here for the Thunder, and none of them have been good. First of all, Westbrook has been, for lack of a better term, Ted, poor as an on-court leader. His lack of composure in these road games where he's getting taken out of his game in certain ways, and whether it's, whether it's what happened with Gobert with stepping onto the court, Westbrook has not exactly been poised. And if that's going to be your on-court leader, this is a problem for the other guys around him. The other thing is the body language gets bad fast. They seem to get frantic and frenetic really, really quickly when things aren't going their way. And for Westbrook, whose decision-making is a problem in the first place, this is a big issue. Here's the other thing that's happened. Billy Donovan's coaching his team scared. And Billy Donovan, who's got, after this year, 2 years and $12 million left on his deal. For the life of me, I don't understand why he's not doing it his way with Westbrook, but he's afraid Russell's going to get him fired. That's how he's coaching, and that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy at this point. Now, listen, it's kind of silly for Donovan to be worried about this in the respect that Clay Bennett is known to be one of the cheapest owners in the league, and I don't think he's eating $12 million in salary on anybody's command for a head coach when they're in one of the smallest TV markets in the country. So to me, logic would dictate that contract protects Donovan a little bit, but Donovan hasn't coached like that. They didn't change their pick. Utah's killed killed them in pick and roll these last three games. They haven't changed their pick and roll coverage one iota. It's crazy. And their use of Carmelo Anthony, and I understand he's dropped off a little bit, their use of Carmelo Anthony has been flat out criminal. He is afraid to try to alter the way Westbrook does things based upon teammates, and unfortunately they very well could lose Paul George over it.
Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCritic.com, chatting with us here on the ongoing NBA playoffs. Geltz, real quick, we got about a minute to go. How does that, we're hearing today that Kawhi Leonard's going to report for his exit interview, and everything is still obviously up in the air moving forward between him and the Spurs. How do you think this thing resolves itself?
I think the Spurs will get it resolved with him. I really do. The bottom line for the Spurs, if they offer him the right contract, he's signing and coming back. This whole thing with Kawhi, you got to understand something. I think Kawhi handled it. And his uncle's in charge of his whole operation right now. I thought the public relations aspect of it was a mess. But with that said, the injury, the tendon injury, is an injury that's affected guys over the course of their career. And I found it a little bit humorous that Tony Parker would make mention of his recovery from a tendon injury. Well, he looked terrible coming back from the tendon injury this year. So I understand a lot of what Kawhi's done here and the distrust in the Spurs medical system, but here's the thing. The Spurs understand this is a unique talent. We have to rebuild this thing with him. If we move past Kawhi Leonard, we're essentially making a move to tear it all down. And, oh, by the way, we just extended LaMarcus Aldridge. So I think that they're going to figure out a way to make nice with Kawhi Leonard and bring him back into the fold. Otherwise, listen, there's going to be a very, very robust market for him. That I will tell you. Teams like Boston and Philly and the Clippers have a whole lot to give the Spurs and will be bidding up if they decide to move him. But I think it's a big jump at this point for them to move him.
Nobody breaks it down better than Brian Geltzeiler at Hoops Critic, HoopsCritic.com, SiriusXM, and he contributes on NBA TV as well. Geltz, it's a big night of hoops tonight, man. Go enjoy those games. We appreciate it. As always, we'll do it again soon.
Thanks, buddy.
Guys, always my pleasure. I'm going to be like a pig in poop tonight. I'll come with you guys soon. All right, take care.
All right, see you, Geltz. A doubleheader. Two doubleheaders.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.